Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on March 14th, 2024, Pi Day. Not blueberry pie, but the mathematical equation pie. Okay, happy Pi Day. All right, 3.14. Okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, our show will not go on until infinity today. It will be about 30 minutes, and we've got a wonderful guest. All right, I've got Dr. Jayshree Seth here, and Jayshree is a corporate scientist at 3M. She holds 76 patents, bless her heart, for a variety of innovations and several others pending. All right, she's a graduate of Clarkson University, but she was appointed. By the way, she's been at 3M since 1993, but she, since 1993, but she was appointed in 2018 as 3M's first ever chief science advocate. And she's using her scientific knowledge, her expertise, and et cetera. She's a chemical engineer, okay, and professional experience to advance science and communicate the benefits of science and the importance of diversity. Okay, gender diversity, racial diversity, et cetera, in all the STEM fields. And it's all part of, and I'm just going to read this here, it's part of this great science, middle school science competition, the annual 3M Young Scientist Challenge. I'll give you all the details about that, but I have it linked up here on site as you're listening if you want to check it out. I got to thank my good friends at Discovery Education who introduced me to Dr. Seth, to Jayshree. And I just want to say before I bring her on that we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, and that's our website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And here we want a lot more diversity in STEM. Everybody knows that. Too many guys. We need to make the balance. Okay, get the gals, get all the racial stuff in there, get everything so that everybody has a good chance. Okay, multicultural, bring it to the party. Okay, in science and 3M and middle school and all that sort of stuff. So without further ado, please go over to our website, see what we do for equity over at ace-ed.org. And here's Dr. Jayshree Seth. Good morning, Jayshree. I'm Larry. How you doing?
Good morning. Very good to be here, and happy Pi Day to you, too.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, happy 3.14. There you go. Are you celebrating by making a circular pie, by any chance?
Actually, at 3M, we do it. We celebrate Pi Day,
good.
And so there's going to be pie in a lot of the buildings. We just got to get there in time.
That's
at
great.
Quarter
I know.
After three. Every...
Yeah. Yep, at quarter after three. It's great. I love it. That's terrific. Okay, good stuff. All right. What we're trying to do here, and I know you do this every day, we want to nurture student curiosity in STEM, and that's for every student. Okay, and I always like to bring up that great movie, Hidden Figures. Look at what we would have missed had those ladies not been gotten involved. We almost missed them. Okay, this is not good. We got to make sure that everybody gets involved and understands there's opportunity in STEM. And that's why 3M, okay, has the Young Scientist Challenge. Okay, and you're going to talk about that today. And just talk about your experience for a few minutes, because you grew up in India, then went to Clarkson. Like, I'm trying to think of two more different weather things. Where were you in India when you were a kid? Hot weather or cold weather?
Both. I actually grew up in northern India in the foothills of the Himalayas, so we had cold as well, but I didn't know the meaning of cold till I moved to Minnesota. That's a different level of cold. But we had our cold and our hot summers and monsoon and all that good stuff.
And, boy, it must have been beautiful where you grew up. In the foothills.
Yes,
the foothills.
It is an absolutely gorgeous town. It's a university town. Surrounded by STEM professionals in that place. And it's one of the oldest engineering college in all of Asia, actually.
Wow. Name your hometown again.
It's called Roorkee, and it's IIT Roorkee, Indian Institute of Technology Roorkee. And it was started by the British when they were doing the railways, and they realized that they needed engineers, so... It was started as an engineering college called Thompson College of Engineering.
What, and that's a great, that's a little piece of history, world history, you know, that I didn't know. Thank you for sharing that. That's incredible. And are you now in Minnesota?
Yes, I am. 3M is headquartered in Minnesota, and I work here.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people know anymore. 3M is Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. Okay, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. That used to actually be fairly more well known, I think, than it is now. Okay, so it's great to have you here. Can I call you Jayshree? Is that all right?
Yes, please.
Great. Thank you, Jayshree. It's great. Tell us tell us why 3M is so involved in this. I think that's the first question here. And again, I got the challenge linked up here on site, but just talk about that, who 3M is in terms of education, okay, and what you're doing as their chief science advocate, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, well, 3M is a global science-based company, so I think a lot of people know about us. I think many of our products, including Post-it notes and Scotch tape, they're very popular with the education community. So we basically
with everybody,
right? So
yeah,
everybody knows 3M, and nobody is more than
everybody knows 3M. But
I don't think
they know it stands for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. Okay, that was the point I wanted to make. Okay,
yes.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
So we use STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math to come up with products and solutions for industrial transportation, safety, electronics, as well as, consumer products that I already mentioned.
Yep.
And because we are a science-based company, we are deeply committed to inspiring the next generation of STEM talent, because these are the young minds who will tackle some of the world's toughest challenges, and they will help to improve lives, and they will create a better future for us all. And we have this recognition, and we have had this long-standing commitment to STEM education and encouragement at 3M. It's just what we do and believe in. And so we are committed to partnering with schools, educational organizations, communities around the globe. And we ensure that students and teachers have the tools, the resources, the knowledge they need to succeed, and all these interactions that we support the next generation of great leaders, thinkers, inventors, innovators. It's just a long-standing history of working with these partners, and they are academic, educational, community-based, and it's not just STEM education, but also supporting equity and diversity, and also engagement.
It is. It's just wonderful. And let me ask, as Chief Science Advocate, okay, which is a wonderful title, by the way. Okay, what do you do? How have you interacted with schools and universities and all that sort of stuff? And again, not just in the U.S., all over the world, but you yourself. If one day you're a scientist, and you're still a scientist, and you're still an engineer, but the next day they name you as the Chief Science Advocate, that's a different job. Okay, what's that job been like for you?
Yes, thank you for
saying
that it is a cool title, because I really think it is.
It
the
is
best
cool.
part is it's the only one in the whole world as far as we know, so that's cool as well.
Jayshree, you deserve that. You deserve that. Look at you.
You.
Okay? Look at 76 patents.
Actually, it's 80. I think that's outdated now, so it's 80 patents. So.
I change it to 80. I hereby change it to 80.
Perfect. Yes.
Congratulations.
So I think the main motivation for this role was the fact that we do research into the public perception of science. And what we found is that we needed to advocate for science. We needed to champion for science, because it was invisible, underappreciated, and taken for granted. It was behind the scenes, and people don't realize, the gadgets that they hold and the devices they can't live without. It is decades of scientific research that has made those innovations possible. And so we decided we should have an advocacy platform, and I got this role. And basically what I do, to your question of what is it that we do, I broke it down as an engineer into three, A is for raising awareness and appreciation for science and moving people from this apathy that they may feel. B is about breaking down barriers and biases and boundaries and beliefs, things like, oh, I'm a girl, science is not for me, or I'm not a genius, I can't do science, so those kinds of things. And C is really for communication with a context that people can see and relate to, that scientists can help solve problems and science helps to improve lives. So that's kind of the work we do. So I give a lot of presentations. I talk about the results of our research results. I talk about my own personal journey. And then we have a lot of programming around this idea of advocacy, not just for encouraging curiosity, explaining scientific principles, but also we have been conducting research to understand how to increase belonging in STEM for undergraduate students so we can bolster the STEM pipeline. So a lot of activities through all of that.
Great. And what before we talk about the challenge, what have you learned about education as you've been doing this, talking to educators, all levels, okay, since 2018, okay? And again, you're a chemical engineer. That's what you did. Now suddenly you're in education. What have you learned about education and teachers and all that sort of stuff? At middle school, this Young Scientist Challenge lives. What have you learned?
I think the most important piece is to tap into the students' curiosities.
Yeah.
I think that is the best way to inspire and encourage them. That is for sure one thing that I've learned. And specifically as it relates, Larry, to girls, it has to be within a context that is very relevant to them. So just the content doesn't usually cut it for girls. It has to be more focused on the context that if you do this, you can help people or you can solve problems or you can make the world a better place. So that connection to their sort of pro-social communal outlook is extremely important. And then what I've also learned is the way we teach, the way we train, the way we typify, the way we talk about STEM needs a little bit of more sort of connecting to bigger goals than just the goal of you can have a good career and you can solve problems, which is great, but also you can help people, you can improve lives and connect it to that purpose. So we have to show them that it requires a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas and a lot of diversity of thought and lived experiences to solve these problems. And that's why science needs you and science needs you to be you.
How true. And I'm going to ask you, on a personal level, what got you into chemical engineering? Okay.
Well,
after all, you're a perfect example. If I may, you're a perfect example. Go ahead.
It was actually my parents who strongly encouraged, because I grew up surrounded by STEM professionals. My dad was a university professor, civil engineering with a PhD himself. So I was not interested in science at all. I was not interested because I didn't connected to my pro-social goals, to my vision of what I wanted to do. And honestly, while I was growing up, I never saw a single woman scientist either. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Exactly, yeah.
But only later did I figure out that, my gosh, this is exactly what I wanted to do, because now I realized that, wow, there's an emphasis on collaboration. It's not some single person with crazy hair, you know, transferring liquids, colored liquids from one beaker to the other. This is all about collaboration. I also realized that there is an empowerment that you can feel to bring your ideas and turn them into innovation in a company like 3M. And then the communal context of improving lives. It's about science applied to life. So for me, the love of what I do came much later, when I was able to build a context around what I was doing, and it was always the context that inspired me. And that is exactly why I'm very particular about that we need to shift the mindset from focusing on content, which is great. It will attract some people, but if we want to attract a much larger cross-section of society, we need to talk about how it helps society.
That's exactly. You and I, the great minds think alike, if I may, though yours are great minds. There's the science does that doesn't. The only reason science does things is for society. Okay, they don't work in a vacuum. Okay, they're doing things to improve society, no matter what part of science they are in. Okay, otherwise it makes no sense whatsoever. People lose track of that. Okay, and when you're exactly right, it has to be taught and explained and felt in context. All right, it's that simple, and I have to say this, you know, Discovery Education, your partner, helped me put together this show. And yesterday I did a show with them and another one of their partners, which is NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And what you said a few minutes ago, that, you know, when you grow up, there were no women role models for you. And the same thing was with Chris Brown yesterday from NASA, okay, a female engineer, female scientist, female now working with education over at NASA. She said, when I started working at NASA, I was the only woman in the room. And here she's a brilliant scientist just like you are, okay? And look what we were missing. Look what we were missing.
Yep.
And look at you, look at Chris, and look at thousands of others, but we need not thousands, we need hundreds of thousands, okay? We need all the brains we can get to make all this work, and I'm just so thrilled that you do the work you do, I got to tell you. It's really something. No more this only woman in the room stuff, you know? It's time, and I'm so glad you're working on it, and you have some great insights. So do you want to talk about the Young Scientist Challenge in particular? I have to ask you something. The new categories, I have to ask you this, our new categories include robotics, home improvement. That's the one I want to ask you about, home improvement. What do you, when they say home improvement, are you looking for a better broom? What are you looking for?
Why not? Why not? There is so much science goes into the mops that we have today and how they can be automated and what they can clean up. See, science is all around us.
Look at the engineering of a Swifter. Look at the engineering of a Swifter.
Yes, yes. So, and so anything that the students can come up with, we are not trying to be prescriptive, but we are trying to make sure that it's something that's accessible, that they can relate to, that's something they would like to improve. So we should talk about the challenge. It is really one of my favorite programs. And not just me, you know, it's a favorite program for our scientists, for engineers, our volunteers, our executives. You know, it's really the program we all rally behind. And we are just every year inspired and impressed and just, you know, amazed by the students that come. So every year, 10 young scientists are chosen. And once we identify them, then we nurture them and they go on to compete for the title of the America's Top Young Scientist. So each student is actually paired with a 3M mentor, so a real scientist from 3M who helps guide and inspire them throughout the competition. And this is really the unique component of the program. And the students get just as much as the mentor gets out of it. And so from June to October, these finalists work on their innovation in whatever challenge that they're working towards, they continue. And then in October, the 10 finalists and their mentors, we all come together at the Innovation Center at 3M. And it's a two-day final event. And there's a bunch of challenges. It's a lot of fun. The energy is just incredible. and then they compete for the crown of America's Top Young Scientist. And it's been amazing. So in my role as Chief Science Advocate, over the years, I've had the honor, you know, of meeting and spending time with the finalists and learning about their innovations, the problems they want to solve, why they want to solve that problem, how it helps, you know, their friends, families, communities. They always want to know about my role. We talk about that, why it matters.
Of course.
You know, day in the life off. They want to know about patents. It's just always a great experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And this is for students. I just want to go over this. Grades 5 to 8, middle school. Okay. And they compete for an exclusive, I'm just going to read this, for an exclusive mentorship with a 3M scientist. They also get $25,000 grand prize and a chance to earn the incredible title of America's Top Young Scientist. Okay. And I just want to ask, Jayshree, if let's say the student is in Maine, where I live, okay, but 3M is in Minnesota, how does the mentorship work? What's that procedure?
They connect virtually. And they have good discussions. It depends on the frequency that they decide, the needs that they have. So what the 3M mentors do is they then go into our extensive network at 3M and find the opportunities and the materials and the help that or the guidance that the students need. So they have a mentor, but they also, in a way of a surrogacy, have this mentorship from the entire 3M community who will be tapped into to helping these students sort of move along in their projects.
It's amazing. And again, I want to say grades 5 through 8. That's a pretty young kid. okay, grades 5 through 8, and look at what they can do. And on that note, who won last year? What did they do? Do you remember? I'm sure
yes,
you do.
Yes, I do, because I got to travel with them to the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, you get to do travel. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, what, so last year the winner was a young man called Heyman Bekele is his name. And he was very interested in solving the problem of skin cancer. And
ooh.
So they worked on a soap that has attributes that can help address skin cancer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's how old was that young man?
13, I believe.
Unbelievable. Wow. And is this a worldwide
competition? Yeah, his passion was just incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, his passion was just incredible. And he just wanted to develop a more accessible solution because, you know, the cancer treatment has high costs, and he had traveled to where his family is originally from and seen, you know, that it is something that needs to be cost effective. And so he had this vision of addressing a global health challenge, you know, and he even created a nonprofit organization around this. So these kids are just incredible in their, you know, ambition and aspiration, but it has got a community orientation, and that is what is truly inspiring.
Did 3M offer him a job yet? They should.
We create a talent pipeline for everybody, and we would be more than happy if they come and work at 3M.
Right. That's a great example and a shining example of what this is all about. I mean, it's just incredible. All right. I have to ask, one of the things that's missing off the list, and I'm just curious about this, was AI, okay, which is so hot this year. Okay. Is that a category this year, too? Because obviously every kid in America wants to make their own AI stuff. What's going on?
And everybody did. Already last year we saw that, technovation was definitely a key. They were harnessing technology to revolutionize existing practices. They were using it to solve real-world problems. And it was really, they were trying to bridge the gap between theoretical knowledge and practical applications. And all of them, virtually all of them, had the digital competency, and many of them used that. In fact, Heyman did too, to test their models. So these kids, for us, it's a big deal, Larry, because it's different and it's new and all of that. For them, it's just something in the progression that they've already aware of. So they don't think about it at all. For them, there has to be a technical, a digital side to it that we would have to think as an afterthought. For them, it is baked in. For us, it is bolt on.
I still can't figure out how to plug in my Roku. It's the same thing. These kids grow up with it. It's just unbelievable. It's just amazing. You know, I have to ask, when you talk to teachers these days, and again, all kinds of teachers can get involved in this. I know it's young science, but as we said, science affects everything, all right? And as you talk to teachers, okay, what advice do you have for teachers? Because that kid who's looking for a skin cancer soap, okay, that's ahead of anything he would be taught in 5th to 8th grade, okay? So how do you get the teachers involved in this?
I think I should mention that every student talks about their teacher and their teachers being a supportive and encouraging.
Oh,
and in some cases, they worked with their teachers to get access to the facilities that they needed, etc. So the point is to encourage their curiosity, encourage their sense of exploration, you know, provoke these conversations, tap into their critical thinking, seek out engaging STEM learning opportunities for them. I mean, those are great places to start. And of course, as we already talked about, Larry, showing them how science can solve problems and scientists can help improve lives. That sets that child off to thinking, hey, okay, if that's the case, here's a problem I want to solve. And then science just comes along for the ride because they're so focused on solving that problem. You know, we have data that shows that students often lose their interest as they get older because they may think it's, you know, too hard or they can't, you know, become because they're not the science type. And that's why we have to dismantle this, this archetype and shatter the stereotypes of who exists and who persists and who enters and who excels in STEM. I think that is critical. So for the
we have to show them the opportunities that exist. We have to show them the opportunities that exist. You know, a kid who doesn't even know about, I'll say NASA or 3M, and doesn't understand, you know, everything that everything they're touching and everything they're doing had to do start with somebody inventing it. All right, everything.
Yes, and teachers can lean in on those community resources, though. So we have a lot of 3Mers who go to schools so that you can have a STEM career talk. And for students, it's like, wow, okay. So one thing, Larry, I emphasize to the teachers is we should not let the students come out of their science classroom thinking that, that this is just about some innate talent or a keen intellect or a high level of curiosity, or a lot of knowledge. Those are great things, but it's not just talent. It's also the tenacity that makes for a good scientist. It's not
resilience,
just the intellect.
Like the
initiative is important. It's not just curiosity. Creativity has a huge place in science, and it's not just the knowledge. It's the know-how of being able to do things, and that's another reason why we are so, with so much emphasis on skilled trades. Skilled jobs are STEM jobs, and people have to have that know-how of using these things, whether it's from shipbuilding to chipbuilding.
You know, I'm going to pass on the name of a book to you. You may have already read it, Jay Shree, and you just talked about the persistence and resilience of science, and you have to learn that, okay? And there's a book out there. It's called Failure. Have you ever read that?
Is this the one by Professor Amy Edmondson?
No, it's the one by Professor Stuart Feuerstein of Columbia.
Mm.
Okay, and I think you will enjoy it. Okay,
thank
he's
you
a
so
neuroscientist.
Much. Failure, I will look that up.
Everybody will enjoy it. It's just why it's all about how science moves forward. Okay, that's the subtitle.
Exactly.
And science only moves forward by failure, and failure is persistence. Failure is resilience. You know, you get
absolutely.
An F on something, that's only the beginning, okay? You can work your way towards an A. It doesn't hurt to not understand something at the beginning.
Yeah,
okay?
What
that's
I tell people is the word failure in English is not the same as the word failure in science.
that's great. And I guarantee
because
every one of your 80 patents, they didn't just pop in. Every one of them went through a whole series, okay, before you got the product just right.
It's the science is inherently an iterative process. So iterative process means you have an hypothesis and it works, it doesn't work. It's not a failure. It's just, it is what it is. And then you move on and you do the next thing and the next thing.
It's just great. And you're a shining example of this. Now, competition entries are going to be accepted until May 2nd. So today is Pi Day, March 14th. Okay. So you have till May 2nd. I have it linked here. At youngscientistlab.com, okay? And I want to ask you, Jay Shree, you've been doing this for, 5-6 years now. What's been your favorite story about all this since you became so involved as a science advocate, okay?
Yes, many, many favorite stories. I think the students that come through, you know, we have had winners and finalists who have gone on to, you know, file for patents. We have others who have started companies, who have given TED Talks, you know, Time Magazine's first ever Kid of the Year, Forbes 30 Under 30. So there's so many stories to share, but I will say what always inspires me is their, you know, tenacity, initiative, their creativity, and how they figure out the know-how. And that's just the shining story out of all of this is, you know, and it's very important to realize that you can still be a scientist. It doesn't mean specifically that you can't do science till you have earned some degrees. Most of these students are in middle school, rather all of them.
It's unbelievable.
And that's the very important piece we want to mention.
Wow, it's just so wonderful that you're doing this. And everybody, it's linked up here, okay? And you get to meet Dr. Seth when you and all her colleagues when you win and when you're up there. There's a lot of awards in this, okay? Check it all out. Jayshree, thank you. This was a pleasure. It's an honor to know you. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for what you do.
Well, thanks for what you do, too. I mean, it's just amazing. Jayshree, have a great day. And enjoy that now very warm state of Minnesota. I happen to know it's warmer this year than ever, right?
It is, and I will enjoy my pie at 14 minutes past 3.
And enjoy it, okay, immensely. Thanks, Jayshree.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Pie day, everybody. What a great day to have a scientist on board, okay? Dr. Jayshree Seth is the chief science advocate at 3M. That's so cool. All right. I have it linked, but it's youngscientistlab.com. Get your kids involved. It's a 3M Young Scientist Challenge. And again, I'm going to thank Discovery Education for helping. They're one of the partners. Okay. And they're just terrific in all this. They really advocate for it. So check it all out. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out what we do at ace-ed.org. Have a good day.